Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West, and I'm your host today, and this is episode number 9. In today's episode, we are going to be talking with women's health expert, Pamela Windell of Smarter Change. Pamela is an expert in everything relating to women's health, including hormones and an expert in the menopause as well. I'll be asking her questions centered around the menopause, both pre-menopause and post-menopause, and also how hormones can affect women's health as well. So without any further ado, let's get stuck into today's episode and bring in Pamela, and I hope you guys listening in enjoy this podcast today. Episode number 9, women's health, the menopause, and hormones. Hello, and today's episode is very exciting because we have Pamela Windell on the line with us, who is a women's health coach and a hypnotherapist. Are you okay today, Pamela? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good today. Thank you.
Well, we're excited to have you with us today, and I'm keen to pick your brain and go into some in-depth conversations all centered around kind of women's health and particularly around the kind of menopause area. And we've got a few questions that I'd like to ask you. But before we get into that, can you just give the listeners a bit of a backstory about who you are, what you do, and how you help people?
Yeah, so I'm based in Nottingham, lived here all my life. and my background is health and fitness. So I worked for a big gym locally in Nottingham for over a decade. But I stopped doing that. I was a personal trainer, fitness coach as well, and taught classes as well. So quite, sort of really ingrained in my veins, basically, the health and fitness and wellness thing for many years. And then I decided that I wanted to work with the mind. Went to university and did psychology with sports science at Nottingham Trent. And then I kind of left the health and fitness industry in 2010 and then worked within the NHS as a alcohol practitioner. And that is teaching people how not to drink. So not teaching them how to drink well, as some people say, but how not to drink or how to manage it or even come off it completely. And that was really an interesting time in my life, working with, you know, a real range of people, from homeless people to doctors and professionals, you know, all having the same problem with alcohol. And I came down with chronic fatigue back in 2012. And so I kind of had to have a look at my life and see where I wanted to go. I really didn't really like being employed very much. And so I'm now self-employed, which I love. And since then, I've, you know, done numerous courses on women's health, functional diagnostic testing, functional nutrition, and hypnotherapy, of course. So that's where I am. A woman's health coach was where I am today, 2018.
And I wanted to ask you, Pamela, was in relation to some of the common issues that women experience, maybe leading up to the menopause, during the menopause, and after. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are some of the common issues that you encounter with women in those kind of phases of their life in relation to their health and wellness?
Yeah, so during the sort of perimenopausal years, so when a woman's still having a menstrual cycle of some sort, it might not be every month, or it might be every month, so it depends on that woman. There isn't an average woman, basically, and it depends on how you are, you know, your hormonal journey. So the symptoms that a lot of women can struggle with is like worse than PMS. So all of a sudden they find that, you know, for a week their energy levels are particularly low. Their mood might be, you know, a bit up and down, might be struggling with a bit more PMS symptoms such as anxiety or depression around the start of the menstrual cycle, or even, you know, bloating as well, and rage, you know, so there's a lot of symptoms that a lot of women maybe just put down to being as normal, and actually they might not be particularly normal. It's kind of a window to seeing that there is potentially some hormonal imbalance there when the symptoms are so extreme. You know, if you're tired for a whole week before your period, actually we should be tired on day, if your cycle calls 28 days, so maybe day 27, 28, up until day 3, you should be a little bit tired because that's natural. But it's anything more than that, and that's a sign that, you know, potentially there's some other things going on. So, and then, you know, other things like migraines is really common around the perimenopausal years, around, you know, the menstrual cycle. Mentioned anxiety, which is a big one, and depression, and sleep disturbances, and even the ability to lose weight. You know, they might have been able to lose weight quite easily before, and all of a sudden they're finding that they're gaining weight around the middle, and, you know, they're trying all the usual things, working out really hard in the gym and eating, you know, a reasonably good diet, but still not being able to lose weight. And that's definitely a sign of, you know, some hormonal imbalance there, which can start in the perimenopausal years. And then as the woman transitions into menopause, so when she's no longer having a cycle regularly, maybe she's missed 3 months and then she has a period, or she's missing 6 months, or even, you know, 11 months, because you have to go 12 months is the kind of magic number. 12 months without a period is then, after that, you're classed as being the menopause. That's when the menopause starts. So your ovaries no longer producing those hormones, and your adrenal glands take up that work then for you. But some women actually get to 11 months and then have a bleed, and then have to then wait another 12 months to just say that they are at that point in their life, and then you become postmenopause. So the changes, the symptoms during the menopause are kind of quite similar to the symptoms in perimenopause, apart from, you know, the PMS, but the anxiety can get worse. If they struggle with heavy bleeding, you know, that can get worse, definitely. You know, the sleep disturbances can get worse, the weight gain can get worse, the migraine can get worse. And then obviously you've got the low libido as well, which then can impact on confidence. And then as you transition into menopause, and, you know, we live as women post-menopause, we're living for 40 years, hopefully, you know, until we're 90 or something. So it's a long time to live without those hormones. And then, you know, the hormones isn't just about fertility, it's about protecting our heart, you know, it's about protecting our bones, our joints, our brain, you know, our eyesight. Our hormones, incidentally, progesterone for a woman has over 400 functions in a woman. And so when we don't produce those hormones, once we get to menopause and once we become postmenopause, you know, that's a massive impact for a woman, you know, generally for her health. So it's really important. I know one of the questions you can ask me a bit later on, but it's really important to sort of really get to understand your hormones and get them working for you, so that when we do get to our post-menopause, you know, wherever we are, what age we are, maybe 60 or something, plus, then we know how to look after ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. So the hormones, obviously, from what you're saying, they have a massive impact and control a lot of goings on in the woman's body, but also maybe emotions and other areas as well. You mentioned one hormone there, progesterone. What other kind of hormones sometimes seem to be out of balance and out of kilter at this kind of stage of a woman's life?
Yeah, so progesterone and estrogen, they're the kind of the two main hormones that when we have a menstrual cycle, they fluctuate. So depending on where you are in your cycle, one's more dominant than the other. And it's when those two hormones become out of balance where we get symptoms like heavy bleeding, anxiety, depression, even weight gain, migraines, that kind of thing. So at the beginning of our cycle, so day one of our menstrual cycle, so the first day that we bleed, and in that period of time, progesterone, estrogen are pretty low, and that's where the energy crash comes in. And so that's why we need to kind of down tools around day one up until around about day three or five, as much as you can. So if you're going to be exercising, I would recommend you don't exercise at that time. You do more restorative things. You may want to do a yoga practice instead, or going out in nature, or even just not doing anything, you know, just really paying attention to your body. I personally don't do anything in those times. I really just listen to my body and just down tools. Even work-wise, I take the load off basically at that time. So as we then get up to around about day eight, so once your period stopped, you stop bleeding, so around about day eight, estrogen and testosterone then come into their own, and our energy levels increase, and it's all geared around the body's going around about producing an egg, and so about fertilization and ovulation and getting pregnant, even though we might not want to get pregnant, but that's what's happening internally. And so we might feel a bit more energized, a bit more extrovert, a bit more outgoing, and this is a great time. So if you want to do, you know, your marathons or your real challenges, or, you know, feel good exercise, is a good time to use your own body's natural surge of energy at that time, and, you know, be really active, and so that's really great. And so we then reach ovulation around day 14 again, so that surge of hormones at that point, and then so estrogen and testosterone are the high dominant hormones. And then once we hit ovulation, so once the egg has been released, then we then have progesterone. And progesterone is the dominant hormone for the remaining of our cycle up until we get to day one again. And when the hormones are out of balance, when estrogen and progesterone are out of balance, we can see that there's generally it's low progesterone. That's what generally happens, because cortisol, where our hormones are made in our body, the cycle of our hormones are made, our sex hormones anyway, it's a bit like a family tree. There's the hierarchy, which is vitamin D and cholesterol. So if you're on a low-fat diet, you know, get off the diet, because you need cholesterol to make your sex hormones. So you've got cholesterol, vitamin D, and then you go down, you have another hormone, it's called pregnenolone, and then that makes DHEA, and then we have progesterone, because there's a bit of a family tree how it works out. But if the body is in any type of stress, be it physical stress, emotional stress, environmental stress, then the body will create cortisol, which is a stress hormone, and it will stop your body creating progesterone. And then if you're not making enough progesterone, that balance between estrogen and progesterone is out of balance, and that's where you get the mood swings, anxiety, heavy bleeding, poor sleep, and things like that. So I hope that's answered your question.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear how they're all linked, and they've all kind of got a hierarchy, and being low in one or high in another, or just like you say, being out of balance can have a massive effect on just a small portion, and then ultimately the whole overall health and well-being can be affected by these imbalances in hormones. So it's really interesting to hear all of that. Okay, let's talk about what women can do kind of at these times then. So maybe when they're in menopause or leading up to it and after it, like what kind of things can women really focus on to make sure that they're optimally healthy, or as healthy as they can be at these times?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good question, because I think a lot of people think, oh, it's my hormones and I can't do anything about it. And I can't change my hormones. And we can influence our hormones, definitely, with lifestyle, thought patterns that we have, you know, things that we put up with. You know, if you're not happy in a job or something, you just tend to put up with it, or you're not happy in a relationship, we tend to put up with it, don't we? And we don't think that, we don't connect that that can influence our hormones. But the first thing I would say, so we'll go from perimenopause to menopause and then postmenopause. And because if you are sort of that 40 plus woman or mid 30s to 40 plus, then, you know, there's a different thing you can do compared to if you're in the menopause or if you're postmenopause. So prevention is definitely cure. So I'll talk to the woman that is at probably 35 onwards, and she's not reached menopause yet. So the first thing I would definitely recommend is understand your cycle, understand your hormones. Just as I've mentioned there, that fluctuations of the dominant hormones at various times in the month. So really start to understand what the hormones do, the roles of the hormones. So, for instance, I talked briefly about estrogen and its roles. Progesterone largely has a lot to do with our mood, and so low levels of progesterone can cause anxiety and depression, but it can also have an impact on digestion. So bloatedness, a low progesterone can cause bloatedness as well. And then testosterone, you know, a lot of people may not know that, you know, we need testosterone as well, not just you guys.
For sure.
As women, we need testosterone to maintain healthy muscle density and healthy bones. You know, for our sex drive and for our motivation, we need testosterone. And so, you know, understanding what the hormones do, but then where in your cycle these hormones are more dominant. Because, for instance, if you are struggling with PMS, then, and you're having those symptoms I talked about, then we know that it's potentially low progesterone or too much estrogen. And I feel that that is quite empowering, understanding your body. And then, as I talked about, cortisol being a really strong dominant hormone, because it's related to fight or flight of the human being. And so if you're in a constant state of stress, there's no way the body's going to go, yes, let's create lots of progesterone so she can get pregnant. No, it's going to say, run for your life, or, you know, stand and defend yourself. So, yeah, you know, just understanding the basic biology of the human body as females, I think it's a good place to be. And then once you know that, start tracking your cycle, you know. And I think a lot of women do this, but they perhaps do it just because they want to know when they start the period. They want to know when day one is, so maybe you want to organise your schedule around not having outside that period. But the thing is, it's the whole of your cycle that we need to start paying attention to. Because if you are missing those fluctuations, say you don't have a libido and you're kind of wondering why, you know, around about day 8 to 14, you should have a libido. So if you're not having one, then that's an indication of a hormone imbalance. It's something that's wrong. But that hormone imbalance is just going to get worse over time if we don't pay attention to it. So, you know, starting down day 1 to day 28, if you're the average woman that has a cycle for 28 days, and paying attention to how you feel on those days. What's your energy like in the morning? What's your mood like compared to the start of your cycle, compared to the end of your cycle? You know, and just like, what's your sleep like as well? Just all those little things that over time, when we get to the perimenopause or menopause, all those things can become much worse. Each period that you have is a window or almost a reflection of how you'll be transitioning to the perimenopausal or menopausal stage that's really important. So if she is perimenopausal, she's just, you know, in that bit where menstrual cycle is kind of all over the place, then still start logging things down, because there could be some links between what you're doing. You know, are you over-exercising? Remember working with a client that used to go rock climbing at night, run about 7 to 8 o'clock at night and get home at 10. She couldn't sleep. It really impacted her sleep. So it's like paying attention to things like that. So again, so the woman that is menopausal, start writing things down. Start paying attention to what you're eating. You know, are you skipping meals? What kind of foods you're eating? What, and are there any cravings? Are you craving sugar? And this is a bit of a myth, actually, how we've kind of, women, been sold this story that actually craving is a natural part of being a woman, particularly in the, you know, when you start in a period. And actually it's not. It's an imbalance of blood sugar levels, and that's what's going on. We shouldn't be craving chocolate. We should be, you know, if you're filling your body with lots of nutrient-dense foods throughout the cycle, avoiding those sugared, blood sugar drops, you know, eating chocolate, coffee, all those stimulants, then you won't have those sugar cravings. And so a lot of women, when they get to menopause, have those sugar cravings because the body is in a state of stress. And so leading on then into postmenopause, and this kind of is the umbrella for everybody really, is, you know, eating fats. We need healthy fats, definitely. We need time to rest. You know, so many of us these days are busy, you know, we have, you know, professional jobs that we want to keep up and present ourselves in a certain way. We want to be slim, so we're exercising like crazy. Then when we're like social butterflies as well, and, you know, so all those things that we're doing, and you're pulled various ways, family commitments, and we forget actually we need to rest as well. You know, what are we doing taking time to restore the body? It's part of that balance. And so taking time out to rest is really important. Being out in nature, laughing, you know, not necessarily around alcohol, but, you know, just being, having that joy in your life, and, you know, connecting with people that make you feel good. And nutrition is definitely important. It's massive. And I do a lot of that with my clients. But, you know, the other thing that's significant as well, you know, the people you spend time with every day, and your thought patterns as well. What are the things do you say to yourself on a regular basis? You know, what's that internal dialogue that's going on? Are you constantly putting yourself down? And all of that have an impact on you, all the ways you are hormonal journey.
Yeah, I don't think people realise how important that kind of self-talk and that, like what you say to yourself on a daily basis, how important that is, because it has a direct impact on your whole physiology, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's huge. Glad you mentioned that. Great. Let's talk about your personal method. So let's say I refer one of my female clients to you. What is your kind of process from the moment they walk through that door until you kind of get them the result thereafter? How do you work with them, and what's your process?
Yeah, so I work with people face-to-face here in Nottingham. I also see clients online. But I offer a 30-minute complimentary consultation with everyone just to make sure that we're the right fit. So that's the first thing I would do. I do have an in-depth questionnaire as well that I ask people to complete beforehand. And the things that I'm looking for is like where you are now. Yeah, that's fine. But I'm more interested in what's happened before. You know, what's led to this point in your life hormonally? Way back from your childhood, you know, were you breastfed? Were you vagina? Did you have a vaginal birth? You know, because your gut microbiome, you inherited from your mother. So being breastfed, vaginal birth, all those things have an impact on that. What illnesses did you have as a child? you know, when did you start your period? What was that like? And whether you went on the birth control pill. And whether you've also had other illnesses in between there, you know, basically, I kind of want to go really deep and find out what's happened in the past and then where you are now and what stresses you've had in the past as well. Sort of life stresses, yeah. So that's what I do. And then, so with that, it gives me a bit of an understanding of areas that we can work on. But I also look at you as a woman wholly, so... You know, what's your sleep like? What do you eat? You know, do you have any cravings like we talked about just earlier? You know, what's your libido like? Are you nourishing yourself physically, emotionally? You know, are there any sort of spiritual beliefs or not? So I kind of really want to understand where you are as a woman. And then obviously you've got your presenting symptoms that you come see me with. And we just unpick that. So I do a couple of diagnostic tests. It's not compulsory. You can have them. You don't have to have them. But one of the things I do is, it's called a Dutch test. And it kind of gives me a roadmap and of how to get to the solution a lot quicker than guessing. And it's called a Dutch test. It's a hormonal profiling test. It's a dry urine hormonal test. The company that I use in the UK is called Regenerus. They're a sister company of the company in the United States, which is called the Dutch hormonal test. And it's a phenomenal test. They actually do it for men as well. But I've never run a test for a man, actually. It'd be quite interesting to do one. But the test is phenomenal. It tells us about our building blocks to make our hormones. So a DHEA, which I mentioned slightly earlier before. It tells you about your pregnenolone. So it tells us whether you have enough of those hormones to make then progesterone and testosterone and estrogen. And so it looks at your estrogens. There are three types of estrogens. Looks at how, what levels they are. So it gives you a range from the perimenopause to, well, pre-menopause, so when you're sort of 20 plus woman up until the 40, 50 plus, and then there's a menopausal range as well. So that's really interesting. And so it gives us a look at that. But not only that, it goes into how your body is using those hormones. So are you managing to use them well? Particularly post-menopause, so we can have a look and see if you're at risk of developing brittle bone disease or perhaps cardiovascular disease, so we can look at that as well. But because your body, as I said, estrogen has 400 functions in the body, so when the body is used all the estrogen it needs to look after your skin, blah, 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 then it has to get rid of it. It has to flush it out of the system, and it does that by the liver. And it does that also by the colon, so when we empty our bowels, okay? And so it can look at whether your body is efficiently getting rid of estrogen, because estrogen is a growth hormone, and we want to have enough of it to do its job, but then we need to get rid of it, because then if we don't, it recirculates in the bloodstream, and that's where we get the hormone imbalance, so like heavy bleeding, for instance. But at worst, it can create estrogen-dominant cancers, like breast cancer, for instance. And so I can see that on the test, whether you're managing to get rid of that excess estrogen. Also goes down the testosterone route and the androgen routes. So I can look at how much testosterone you have, but then also how your body's using it. Are you tipping over to sort of the male dominant testosterone symptoms like hair loss, aggression, that belly fat, you know, and that's kind of a precursor to developing diabetes, you know, insulin resistant. So it kind of looks at that as well, and that's really interesting. And then as we go further down the test results, it tells us about melatonin, so whether you're creating enough melatonin, so that's your sleep hormone, and you know, it's powerful, is a powerful antioxidant, you know, so it's really important that we do sleep. That's another thing why sleep is such important. And then it looks at your adrenal glands and see how they're working, and then it looks at your cortisol, because cortisol is our friend and it's our foe. We need cortisol to get us out of bed and get us motivated in the morning. And that's when it's our friend. But if cortisol is our foe, then it's one, stopping you from sleeping at night. You get into bed and suddenly your brain is wide awake. Or it's waking you up, you know, at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Or you can't lose weight, or you can't, you know, your progesterone levels are low as a result of that. So it kind of looks at how your body is using cortisol, indications of thyroid disorders potentially as well from a test. And then it also, they've just added some new markers on the test, and it looks at vitamin B, your vitamin Bs, B12, glutathione, which is a powerful antioxidant. Yeah. So it looks at your levels of that, and then it also looks at serotonin. So that's really amazing test. So that's the Dutch test. And then the other test I use is called an organic acid test, and that gives me 70 markers about you as a person, and that's anything from neurotransmitters to gut health, immune health, bone health, toxicity. It's just a phenomenal test. So not all my clients have both those tests. Some of my clients just opt for the Dutch test, and some of my clients don't have any tests at all. But if they don't do tests, then it's about logging symptoms, what you eat. And we start off with sort of balancing the blood sugar levels first, look at gut health, particularly if you've had the contraceptive pill in the past, or if you've had any hormones in the past, to be honest, and if you've had any antibiotics as well. So gut health is huge, really.
Yeah. Once you've got all that data, then what's the process for interpreting it and actually making an impact on someone's life? What would be the next steps once you've got that data from those tests?
Yeah, so once I get the results back, then that's where we then create a program of how to then recreate hormonal balance. So I use nutrition, definitely, and this is where the functional nutrition comes into place, really. So it's not, as we know that we should all eat this, you know, a nutrient-dense diet, but it's not that it's right for everybody in terms of the quality of the food. So, for instance, particularly with the organic acid test, so it can tell me about toxicity. And one of the things is called oxalates.
Yeah.
Oxalate is a byproduct that you get from plant-based foods. And so if someone's oxalate levels are particularly high, then that would give me an indication that actually if they're a vegan or vegetarian or eating lots of plant-based foods and they're struggling to lose weight, then it could be that toxicity is causing internal stress. So therefore what we do, we then work with the gut. We then look at supporting beneficial bacteria through supplements, but also foods. So natural foods like kefir, garlic, onion, all those good things to help create healthy bacteria within the gut. We also then try to increase hydrochloric acid, so your stomach acid, so that you can break down the compounds from the food and eliminate the waste, and then you then come off that cycle of being toxic and that internal stress, and reducing inflammation as well. So we obviously take out all the foods that would cause inflammation, but then we put good foods in as well, you know. So it's about creating sugar balance, but then adding in the gut health as well. If she needs adrenal support, say she's not, you know, adrenals, she's struggling with fatigue, we can use herbs, natural herbs and supplements to help support her with that. And the lifestyle stuff would be, well, actually, maybe, you know, how much time are you spending on your PC or your mobile phone, or, you know, how much time are you looking at blue light? You know, that can, there's new research coming out of how much that impacts our adrenal health as well. And
that's going back to the environmental stress, isn't it, that you spoke about?
Yes, exactly. And we just take it for granted that we can constantly look at this blue light and actually without any consequences. But no, you know, it does have an impact. So, yeah, environmental stress is massive. It's huge. And I think that we disconnect that actually that has an impact on our bodies as well, and it does. So in terms of like putting a program together, is about working with you individually, but also looking at what you're eating, how you live your life. You know, I want to be a fly on the wall, really. You know, without coming to live with you, I want to know what's going on.
Yeah. So it's very much what I'd call a complete program. You're kind of looking at all the different angles necessary to get that person to where they want to be, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
The things that I've got from this podcast so far is that awareness of listening to your body and being aware of what's going on is really, really important. And the second thing that I'm getting from you as well is that you're a massive person for tracking, and if you track stuff, you're going to have a better idea of where you're at. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not tracking forever, because some people think it's tedious. You know, oh, God, I'm having to write down what I'm eating, what time I went to bed, did I wake up, what did I do when I woke up, you know, what's my mood like? It's like, oh, this is so tedious. But honestly, it's rewarding for my clients. They'll go, oh my God, I can see a pattern myself.
Yeah, it's
huge.
And
that's empowering. You know, I'm there to help you, but I mostly want my clients to feel they are
flying their own.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want. So my clients say to me, I can see a pattern. I know that my bloating isn't related to food. It's actually related to stress. Or I can see this food that I'm eating here, that I had some alcohol, I had some chocolate that day, and I didn't sleep. I know that this is what's causing it. And it's great when they're linking the things that I already know, you know, because that's my job. But when my clients are going, yeah, I can see this is happening. Fabulous.
Yeah, that's brilliant. There's a difference, isn't there, between you knowing and telling them and, in inverted commas, preaching to them, but them actually seeing it for themselves. And again, like I said before, being aware of what's going on, I think that's critical, because then not only are you showing them, but they're educating themselves and empowering themselves at the same time. So I think that's brilliant. Tell me a little bit about some of the results then that you've seen with certain people that you've worked with, like maybe what are some of your, I don't know, two or three best results that you've experienced since you've been doing what you're doing now.
Okay, so one that springs to mind instantly when you say that is a client that I'm still working with, actually, and we've been working together since December. So she came to see me. She's post-menopause of nearly 10 years, and she said that before the menopause, she was vibrant, she was always active, you know, full of life, woke up with a bounce, you know, ready to go, joyful kind of woman. And she kind of just lost her spark, and she was sleeping 4 hours, but it wasn't 4 complete hours. And she tried everything, you know, she bought supplements, somebody recommended this, somebody recommended this, and nothing really worked. And she was persuaded to come and see me by her sister, actually. And I think even when she came to see me, I think she thought that, oh, you know, this is something else that I'm going to invest in, but it's not going to work. And a GP wanted to put on sleeping tablets, and she was really resistant, really didn't want to go down that route. So we did both those tests with her. I mean, it was, to be honest, it was important that we did those tests for her, because her sleep was so bad, you know, I needed to know what was going on internally for me to work with her. So we've been working together, say, since December, and so the results came back, and it was like, okay, this makes sense. So we then, she was exercising quite a lot, loved exercise, and so we then added some adrenal support, so it's her called Ashwagandha. So we added that in. We then looked at how much protein she was eating throughout the day. So we added some more protein in. She was eating breakfast like really late. So it was like hours after waking. So we then brought that down. So she now has breakfast within an hour of waking. We then cut out sugars completely, even fruit sugar, because she had, one, because she wasn't sleeping, because we wanted to take out sugar completely, because we didn't want to spike her cortisol levels even more. So we took out sugars for 3 months completely, even fruit as well. Took out all grains as well. So really increased the protein. Grains were out and sugars were out. Increased like healthy fats. Supported her gut as well. So we increased her hydrochloric acid. And then reducing the sort of the fungus, internal fungus that she had as well, that came back on the test. We then agreed to stop exercising, but she was continued doing Pilates, and she was going out for a walk. But she was the kind of woman that went out for a walk and it was like pacing, you know, I'm having a workout, because she loved the adrenaline, which is, you know, I understand being a health and fitness person myself, but we just had to like go, well, this is the results. You can see it on paper. You're feeling, you know, this, the effects of not sleeping and brain fog and low energy in the morning. Okay, let's try it. Let's see how your body responds when we step back from being physically active. And she's now sleeping 6 hours a day, a night. She's still waking up once in the night, but she goes back to sleep quite easily. And she's her energy levels has increased. She feels amazing. I mean, we had a video call last week, and she says, everything's good. You know, my energy levels are back. I feel good, the brain fog's gone, everyone's telling me how good I look, you know, and that's just, you know, month number six, aren't we now, approaching. So that's really, really great. So there's her. I'm also working with a younger woman, for instance, who's 22. So this is, you know, and the other end of the scale, who came to see me with acne. And she tried various things and went to see a GP. She opted to have one of the tests, so the Dutch test. And so I personally would have thought it would have been her testosterone levels too high that was causing the acne. But actually on the test, her testosterone were fine. So this is another reason why testing is so good, because it does take out the guesswork. And actually what the problem was her gut. That was the problem. So internal inflammation within her gut was causing a problem. And so let me think, when do we start working together? I think we've been working for about 3 months now, and there's a vast difference as well. And the other thing that she was struggling with was energy levels in the morning as well. And now we're supporting her with some adrenal support as well, some herbs, and then we're also, you know, eliminating sugars as well, and the gluten and that kind of thing. And she's got in place at work, because she works on a computer, she's got some, you know, second It's a screen, basically. It's like an orange light.
Yeah, to minimise the blue light, yeah.
Yeah, so she's doing things like that to help herself. And recently she said that she's still having a low energy around a menstrual cycle, but throughout the remaining cycle, her energies have improved. So, again, we're still in the process of you know, getting that hormonal balance and increasing all her body as well. A client that I've worked with, again, who's postmenopause, who I didn't do any testing with at all, and she was postmenopause, again, I think about 10 years, and went through the menopause reasonably okay, but she had this really long, drawn-out divorce, and it was quite messy. It was like this financial battle going on between them, and it went on for about 5 years, I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she suddenly found that after the divorce had ended, you know, they'd got this split, the finances and investments and whatever, that she started gaining weight around the middle. She'd got no energy, you know, all the sort of menopausal symptoms that we called them had suddenly hit her. And the first thing I said to her, do you have a plug? You know, do you have a bath? Can you have a bath? Just to rest, because she, again, a very professional woman, very driven, you know, very, you know, at the top of the game, basically. And she's like, you know, I don't even think I've got a plug. She couldn't even remember the last time she had a bath.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. And she, it took her 3 weeks to actually get in the bath. Because she just couldn't relax. She was just, you know, driven all the time. And again, with her, I said, look, let's step back on the exercise, you know. And again, it's about balancing the blood sugar levels. And she was very good at she was committed to working with me. And she's very good at, you know, filling in her diaries. And so that we could have a look at balancing the hormones, balancing the blood sugar levels, and then supporting her gut health. And she, it was bizarre. So within a month, she'd lost like inches of her waist without one being on a diet and without exercising. Because for that woman, she didn't need to exercise. She needed the opposite. She needed restorative stuff.
Rest is really, really important, isn't it? It's as important, if not more important, than the actual physical activity is making sure you're getting that recovery and that recuperation, isn't it? That's some really, really interesting and amazing results there. But one thing that I really want to point out to the listeners off the back of that is that it takes time, doesn't it? It's not just something that you're going to do a few changes and it's going to click the fingers and happen like that. It takes time, just like it does when you're trying to achieve a goal with your exercise and a weight loss goal or a fitness goal. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to make those changes and be patient and take time, haven't you, to see an impact and
absolutely.
To see a result.
Yeah. And I always say to people, you know, I'm on social media, if you are, you know, I do like live streaming on social media, and I, you know, answer questions and things. And I think as women who are sort of in that hormonal phase of their life when things are showing up, it didn't just happen today. It happened a decade ago. What, you know, it's that journey of what you've done in the past that's where you are today. That's what's showing itself. And you can't, to think that you can just spend a month to think that you're going to create hormone balance in a month is just unrealistic. And I think that's where, you know, people go to see the GPs and prescribed HRT or prescribed antidepressants, because that is a quick fix that will make you feel good instantly for a while, at least anyway. And I think if you're choosing to go down a more holistic, natural route, then you're going to have to invest in yourself. And, you know, it's going to take time. It's not going to be instant, but it will happen and you will start to feel the benefits over time. And for like that client that I'm working with now, it's been 6 months and she's already feeling great. And what, 6 months in a lifetime?
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah. And the great thing about the way that you work, and very similar to the way that I work as well, is going after the root cause rather than just looking at the symptom, or I've got a headache or my energy's low. You're going after like the fundamental deep lying issues. And when you can correct them and work on them, that's when you're going to have the biggest lifetime impacts, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's so right. You know, the root cause is you know, that's my thing. Exactly the same with you. Find out why that person's presenting with anxiety. Why can't you lose weight? You know, rather than going, oh, here's this, take this.
Yeah. That's massive. Love it. Well, I think we're going to kind of bring it to a close there, Pamela. I've really enjoyed speaking to you, and I guess like it is with any kind of person that I speak to and have on, we could go on for ages and go down loads of different rabbit holes, but we'll definitely look to have you on again and do it again and maybe cover some different topics on the next time. Just before we kind of wrap things up and end, where can the listeners go to find out more about you? So, for example, your website, your social media handles, where can they go to find out more information about you?
Yeah, so my website is it's smarterchange.co.uk. So smarter, so S-M-A-R-T-E-R, change, co.uk. And on my website, there's hundreds, not a lot, hundreds of blogs. I don't know how many blogs I've got on there, but there's lots of blogs.
There's hundreds. Let's say there's hundreds.
Okay. There's a fair few blogs. There's also you can download a recording as well. I wrote it. It's a relaxation recording, but I wrote it for the woman that is afraid of transitioning into the menopause, and so that she feels self-assured, she knows what she wants, she knows what she needs during that time. So you can download that. I've also got a PDF as well, you can download as well. So that's my website. And then my social media handles, which I love, Instagram is my favourite at the moment, and I'm Pamela Windle Hormonal Coach on there, and on Facebook it's Pamela Windle, and this is really long because I've took two Facebook pages because I also do hypnobirthing as well, but the one for the hormones is Pamela Windle Smart Change Wellness for Mind and Body, so it's quite long. But if you miss the Wellness for Mind and Body, you'll go onto my other page, which is my hypnobirthing page.
Okay. I'll put the links in for everyone anyway on the notes for this, so everyone knows where to go and they can just follow you on there. That's great. I like to finish my podcast, I don't know if I told you about this, I might have put you on the spot here. I like to finish them with a favourite quote, or maybe an inspirational quote, something that can be one of your own quotes, it can be one from someone else, maybe something that you live by, something that really inspires you or motivates you. Can you leave us with a bit of a quote? I've put you on the spot, haven't I?
You have put me on the spot. Oh my God, I can't think. One of my own, I guess, but it's very short. It's something I've made up myself. But it basically is that the menopause isn't a destination, it's a journey.
That's so fine.
Yeah, you're okay.
Perfect.
With that.
Yeah, perfect. It's all a journey. Everything's a journey. What we're doing right now is a journey.
It is.
The journey of life.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I've really enjoyed that, and I've learned something myself. So I'm sure the listeners would have picked up some really useful bits of information, and it's been enlightening, definitely. So let's keep in touch, and I wish you all the success, and thank you very much for giving up your time. I know you're busy and you've got a busy schedule, so I really appreciate you giving up the time today.
You're welcome. Thank you too.
No problem. I will speak to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
There you have it. That's a wrap on episode number 9 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Some fantastic information that Pamela shared with us there, and I hope the women listening into this have taken on board what she said and the tips and the information that she shared with us today. Also, I'm sure some of the guys listening to this would have got some great information from it as well, and some personal trainers that listen to my podcast, I know you will start putting some of the tips that Pamela mentioned into practice with your female clients that are probably suffering with some of the issues that Pamela talked about. As always, if you need any more further help, if you need help with your health and well-being and your fitness goals and changing your body shape and changing your life, then do not hesitate to get in touch. All of the handles for my social media are attached to the notes of this show, and you can find more information out about Kinetic Fitness at kineticfitness.co.uk, and that's Kinetic spelled K-I-N-E-T-I-K. That's it for today. I hope you have a fantastic day for the rest of whatever you are doing, and I will speak to you again next week. Peace and love.